Welcome to AncientFuture.today and our conversations with the Grand Council about current events. Well, hi everyone, it's Megan here, and we are doing some special podcasts on current events. And these are a series of podcasts for May, June, and July 2019. So I'm here with the Grand Council. We're going to have some interesting discussions on democracy. So welcome, Grand Council. I'm sure this will be a provocative discussion.
Well, hello to Megan and hello to the listening audience. And we have no idea what you're talking about in terms of provocative. On Earth, literally, are you talking about? Thank you.
Well, there are many things going on in the world, many intense discussions, politics, all around democracy, and it's a pretty crazy time. So I'm sure that you're going to bring up some subjects that are food for thought. Let's put it that way.
Well, indeed, we do have you in the California, which has always been seen in your country to be the agitation on the West Coast for different ideas, new parts of the American English language, the new innovations, the high tech, the this, that, and the other. So you are perfectly positioned to represent at least your own opinions about these things, and as is the Oracle, who is positioned currently in Hong Kong and is part of a community that is awakening to its own political will and political mind and heart and possibilities. And so we thought that it might be a good opportunity just to explore democracy as an issue, for it is something that is, it's one of those wonderful things, just like religion. If you say Catholicism as a word, most people over the age of 3 or 10 perhaps now have some idea what Catholic means, and everybody thinks that their idea is the truth, and that they could define it so that it was a meaningful term. And there are brushstrokes that are made about people, about organizations, institutions, services, conspiracies, contributions through the ages, the Bible, etc., all of which fall underneath the word Catholic, or in particular Roman Catholic, or Jewish, or Republican, or British, or any of those terms. As soon as we say them, out comes in everybody's mind who has any exposure whatsoever to any of those topics, out comes a certain sort of, oh, well, British means yada, yada. Whether the person says it out loud, thinks it out loud in terms of being aware that they are thinking it, or if it is just something internal that automatically happens with certain keywords for most people. Would you agree with this? Thank you.
Yes, definitely. We bring our experiences, preconceived notions, traumas, good experiences. We bring all of that very personal, subjective experiences to these different categories. So yes, I do agree with you. Thank you.
And the Oracle has just been through an interesting experience herself with this in the Hong Kong. She attended a workshop recently that was designed to facilitate people to acknowledge and recognize their feelings around all the upheaval in the Hong Kong that many people are reading about in the international news. And very many people have their opinions about whether they know what they're talking about or not, including people on the scene and, of course, the ubiquitous media that always shapes opinion, if possible, and usually shapes opinion to advantage whatever political figures are in charge and to be curried favor with. And so there is a lot of conception and a lot of misconception about places, people, subject matter around the whole concept of democracy. So you are in your, late 50s now? Mm-hmm. And you, excuse us?
Oh, 59.
Ah, okay. One more year in your 50s, which means that you have had at least 3 decades of being able to vote in your democratic political system in the United States. And what has that meant to you, to be able to cast a vote in your local, state, and national elections for representatives? Thank you.
Well, it's a great question. On the one hand, it feels deeply meaningful to me that I can go and at least almost 100% trust that my vote is going to be counted, that there won't be corruption at the polls and things. So it is actually really deeply meaningful to me. And then I get cynical sometimes in the bigger presidential elections when they're the electoral college, so that it feels less like my vote counts. And so I've got some ambivalence about the bigger elections, and yet it means a lot to me actually that I've been able to vote at both local, state, and national levels.
Interesting. Okay, so tell us, please, if you do not mind, why it is or how it is meaningful for you. And we trust that that is your truth, and it is the case for many people in your country in particular, which has been known as the seat of democracy for a long, long, long time now by the rest of the world, and is starting to come under scrutiny for the rest of the world now and under question about what democracy really means. So yet again, the United States is serving as a catalyst for new thinking without even meaning to be that sort of catalyst. So what is it? How is it meaningful for you that you have a vote? Thank you.
Well, you know, it's one of the only times when I feel like I'm directly part of a larger collective movement. You know, I have my small groups that I'm involved in, and I feel deeply connected to smaller groups. Voting, though, is an opportunity for me to feel connected in a much larger way. Like I have some power here. If I'm not satisfied with something, I can actually do something about it. Now, whether I actually am, whether that's actually doing something, I'm not 100% sure. Although what it does for me on a personal level is it helps me to feel connected to the larger human community. And that to me is actually really powerful. And you know, it feels like I'm getting in the car, I'm going to the voting booth, I'm doing something, I'm voting. I'm putting my opinion, my desire, my choice. It's like an act of desire and choice. So that feels good, to empower myself to say, okay, well, here's how I feel, and the larger group is going to take this into consideration.
This is very interesting, because that is exactly what is intended with the philosophy of democracy, is that each individual that is part of a given society that is democratic is invited and welcome to have an opinion whenever there is an official invitation to so do. And yet, in a truly democratic environment, each and every individual is also, there is a blanket invitation for their opinions to be heard, or at least to be stated. So there are many different layers and levels of invitation in a democracy that people may not even be aware of are parts and parcel of that reality, so to speak, or that at least that construct of reality. So we have a question for you, if we may, about, do you feel it is your responsibility as a citizen in a democracy, whether it is your country or if you were to live in another one somewhere else in the world, would you feel responsible to cast your vote? And if so, why? And if not, why? Thank you.
Well, I've got some ambivalence about this because on the one hand, I do actually feel responsible to cast my vote. And yet I really, sometimes it feels like it makes absolutely no difference at all. And so I feel cynical sometimes. I feel ambivalent sometimes. I feel frustrated. And yes, I do actually feel responsible. So, you know, whenever there is an election, I actually vote. And I know I've told my son, I've encouraged him in the next election, in the presidential election, because he'll be able to vote now. I've certainly have talked with him about the importance of voting. So it's a value that I've passed on. And yet, truth be told, I feel some cynicism around whether it actually makes any difference. Thank you.
Well, we would suggest to you that if everyone did exactly as you do and felt exactly as you feel in terms of being able to respond to the invitation to have an opinion and to cast a vote based on that opinion, there would be quite a different political system in your country than is showing up as democracy now. And yet the cynicism is so great, partially because so many of you were awake enough during the George Bush Jr. appointment to president through a corrupt process that was enabled by his brother Jeb in Florida and certainly by the powers that be in well, everybody likes to call it Washington, D.C. as shorthand for the power structures that run your country. And so, and all the other things and parts and pieces of the machinery that were required to turn any semblance of democracy in your country on its ear. So he was appointed for his first four-year term and then reappointed, which was interesting because that was really the death of your democracy in the open space of possibility for democracy. And it has been a very rapid sort of unfoldment since then because the powers that be underestimated how awake many of you were. And we have spoken before about the 9/11 incident. That was a big wake-up call for people who were going to wake up to the machinations of your government and other governments in your government and in your country, moving political, public opinion one way or another, depending on who happens to hold sway in the power structure. And anytime you know the names of people in your politics or in Britain or Australia or any of the countries that purport to be democracies and really are not, you will find that if you know the names of individuals, they are not the true power brokers, including your presidents and prime ministers and senators and all of these people. They really are not the power brokers. They are the implementers of the power brokers' bidding. And so we have come right to the point here, have we not? We are not pussyfooting around. We are basically saying to you that the motions of democracy now are really truly just walking through the motions. There is no such thing as a democracy on your planet right now. Perhaps some of the Scandinavian countries would come close and yet not. And certainly there are other countries that don't even pretend to be democracies that are functioning on the whole, probably more democratically than your country is. It is a grand illusion now that the United States is a democracy. It is a government by representation, basically. So you're not really voting one vote, one man for the ultimate character that is put into place. Perhaps closer in your state, in your local, you have a little bit more guarantee that your mayor may have been voted in by popular vote. And yet, everyone knows that the further away from your locus and your local points of reference, that the likelihood of your vote actually making a difference diminishes the further away the process goes from your hand and your vote into the box. So do you have any comments to what we have said so far? We really jumped right into the radical view of democracy, no democracy. Thank you.
Well, what you've described is what I feel in my heart and what I feel in my bones, that they're real. It's an illusion of democracy. Certainly, I know because I've traveled a lot around the world that I am privileged, and I feel very happy to live in America, even though there's a lot of incredible freedoms that we have here that other people do not enjoy. So even though I agree that it's an illusion of democracy and that there's powers behind the leaders that are pulling a lot of the strings, I do believe that. And yet, from traveling around the world, I also understand that there's a lot more freedom of self-expression in a place like the United States or Britain or Australia. I mean, these places also have absolutely horrible corruption, and these things are being exposed, which I think is a really positive thing, so that we look with our eyes more wide open what's really happening. So I agree with what you're saying. I guess that's what I'm saying. So thank you.
Yes, you posit an interesting aspect of democracy that most people would not wish to look at and to own as part of a particle of a democratic country, and that is the corruption. And yet it is more of a human issue than it is a political issue. In every political organization, whether it is dealing with politics or not, there are, and you have heard this phrase many times, no doubt, in your life, there are human politics that are ubiquitous through every organization of humans, whether it is a small village in the equatorial jungle, or whether it is a small village in the halls, sacred halls of a Mason's lodge, or if it is the politics in school systems. Academics are full of political leaning and machinations and rules and regs that advantage those who are already advantaged, etc., etc. And churches and Girl Scout troops and any sort of human organization is going to have its own politics. And what do you think gives rise to that? What sort of dynamics within the human psyche give rise to human politics, as we are taking it more universal now and not specific to any country on your planet? Thank you.
Well, my understanding, my experience is that when we're in our ego part of the personality, rather than our inner master or our higher self, that the ego really does love to play those kinds of games of right, wrong, or domination. It makes me feel better when I dominate you, when I can control you. The ego really is the ego without connection to the higher self can really be quite destructive. So this is part of our human nature, that when it goes unchecked by the higher self, moves into very, very destructive behavior, human against other human. So I would say, just as a shorthand to say, the ego, when it's disconnected from the higher self. Thank you.
And we would agree with this, and we would say, so what do you witness, let's just confine it to your country since you are there and you are experiencing the chaos in your country and the absurdities that are issued forth from your governance, those who are in charge of governing your country. Not all of them, please. We are not giving a broad stroke to all of your governors and your governance, whether they are governors or presidents or senators or mayors or whatever, school board members, etc. What we are, though, saying is that politics is up for examination. And as politics are up for examination currently, it is a very important thing within the mastery communities that are forming around Ancient Future today, that there be a very clear-eyed view of human politics, ego, etc., because as the mastery community forms in this regard, there is an intent on the part of yourself, the oracle, and ourselves, that the politics that will rise within this community will be very open, honest, conscious, and transparent. And they will rise, there is no question, because there will be very intelligent, powerful, masterful, self-defined, success-oriented individuals drawn to be part of this community. And so what will happen is that politics will come as part of the luggage of each of the individuals, putting their time, money, and other resources toward the work of the mastery projects. So you see, it is not that we are just waxing eloquent about a political system in a given country. We are talking about politics as a human condition. And it is almost as if you cannot have more than one person in one place at one time and not have some sort of politics to deal with. You have more than one person, you have interpersonal politics. You have three people, you have small group politics. It used to be called dynamics. We're just shifting the word to politics for this particular podcast. And so what is important for masters, and in particular Ancient Future Today masters, is to own the political wiring that each and all have, and then to track it along with the fact that everyone has an ego, which is what keeps you alive. It is what allows you to be safe and secure and to defend yourself when you are in danger. So we do not want to do away with the ego, nor do we want to do away with politics. What we would like to see happen with politics is that it becomes less of a taboo subject to discuss openly and honestly, and that it becomes something that is worked with consciously and deliberately in the groups, at least, that we are engaging. How do you feel about what we have just said, then, Megan? And then we will carry on for a little while longer. Thank you.
Well, as you were talking, I was thinking about when a group of people comes together to solve a problem. Like, for example, as a mastery group, we might want to solve an important world problem. Excuse me. And each person there has a particular opinion. They might want to get their opinion heard, or they might want to, you know, think that they have a really good idea. And so I was picturing a group of people, strong people with strong opinions. And I think with the openness and honesty, the way we're going to solve these world problems is if everyone is strongly putting in their opinion and has a part of them that can see what is the best solution for this problem for humanity as a whole. So if I have a really good, I want to push my agenda, and then someone else comes up with a better idea and if I can say, that's actually a better idea, let me step away from my idea and embrace yours. That's the way, I think that's the way we're going to solve problems, so that because you have to be strong and you have to have your opinion and you bring your experience. And yet there has to be the ability to shift into a collective or a higher perspective so that one's ego won't get hurt or one can back down or one can. So I can see that, you know, having a healthy psychology is absolutely key for solving these bigger problems. So having open politics or dynamic power dynamics, you know, having an open process around this is crucial. And it feels to me like a pathway to solve some of the big world problems. Thank you.
It was interesting while you were talking, there was a lot of distortion in the audio, and yet your key point came through, which is that you must be able to hear each other's ideas and be able to have your opinions and have them aired and have everyone heard. And what this requires and why it is not working in your political systems, any of them really, other than the ones that are really highly structured and everybody hooks up to the party line, whatever one party line may be in operation. Those are working, ticking over at least marginally well, because there isn't a lot of room for divergence of opinion or of direction or of affiliation. And so in some ways, through this chaotic period on your planet, which is extreme, and we would acknowledge everyone for navigating through it as well as you all are, and not just those who are listening to this podcast, everyone on your planet right now is doing a remarkable job of swimming through the chaos. And so what we would say is that, with the exceptions of the highly structured and very monitored sorts of political systems that are in place on your planet, there is so much chaos occurring that few people are hearing what anyone else has to say. They're spending all of their energy shouting their own opinions loudly with the hope and the intent that someone else hears it and agrees. And then the two of them can shout louder when they are side by side shouting the same thing. And then hopefully they will outshout the others. And so it has gotten ludicrous in democracies on your planet right now. They are not functioning well because no one is really able to or willing to listen to each other. And there are very few skilled, respectable facilitators leading these processes that are required in a democracy for everyone who is passionate and does have an opinion and would like to find the solutions together to have their time on the dais, or to have their moment of airtime, or however you wish to put that, where everyone else suspends their need to be right or to be heard and dedicates their energies to listening to the other. So there is a lot of unwinding that will have to occur if talks of any rational sort is ever going to revisit your planet as a system that might work. Now, we are not going to talk about Hong Kong democracy issues or anything that smacks of that until another podcast. We will call this one the May podcast, and it has a play on words as well, as it could democracy, may democracy work on your planet, both in a blessing and in a question and in an invitation and a ponderance, all of that mixed up together with a may it. And we would leave it as a blessing because of all the political systems that have been conceived of in human mind and heart, the intent behind democracy is a good one. And the intent is that each person living has the right to their opinion, has the right to air their opinion, and has the right to well, there you are, free speech, free movement, free living. And yet all of the constraints that go with that have to be redefined, because it has never really been emphasized that in a democracy, all of that freedom must result in the best for everyone equally. It is there, it is stated, and that is generally what falls by the wayside. It generally becomes he and she who are loudest, he and she who are wealthiest, he and she who are most influential, he and she who can machinate behind the scenes, you see. And so that is where the system breaks down, and very quickly. So for those of you who are listening, who really hold the value of what you believe democracy to be dearly in your hearts and in your value systems, we would ask you to start with your nearest and dearest groupings, whether it is your nuclear family or your extended family and or your extended family, your neighborhood, your church, whatever it is that is near and dear to you, and see if you can really institute a healthy democracy within that small group and small grouping. And when you feel you have built the muscle and the understanding, the will and the skill to be democratic in small measures, in small spaces, but it is equally meaningful to what that might mean on a national level, if it were possible, then when you have built the skill and used your will in this way, and you have some experience being democratic yourself, openly and transparently, without backroom machinations and favors being bought and sold and et cetera, then you will know what you are doing when you cast your vote, if you are allowed to cast a vote that has any meaning at all. And it will inform you on whether you get in your car and go and cast that vote or not. Because if it really is a meaningless gesture, it's better to call people together on a voting day and have a meeting about democracy and practice the skills in using your wills in that way. So that someday, when there is an enlightened enough populace in large enough numbers in your neighborhoods or your counties, your state, your nation, and dare we say someday in the world, then you will be ready, and then you will have the skill set required. So that is what we have to say on democracy for today. What say you, the Megan, and please close us out. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for beginning this discussion. It feels like a huge topic, and you've given us some really good food for thought. I'm going to re-listen to this again and just let it sink in. So thank you, and thank everyone for listening. We hope that this is stirring some things within all of you. And we just remember that we're all masters on a masterful journey, and we're growing and learning, and this is kind of a cutting edge. So it's helpful to remember during these current events and these incredibly chaotic energies to stay grounded, focused, and open to Grand Council for sure, what you're saying to us. So thank you very much for what you've shared with us today. And thank you everyone for listening. So we will be back for a few more episodes on current events with democracy. And so for now, many blessings to all of you. Your journey of mastery continues with ancient future.today.